This is the fun part, though, is just getting very still and quiet and reflecting on what you just listened to, all the extra stuff that you couldn't hear because of the noise floor of what we were doing, all the racket we were making, and not letting this microphone shine and do its own thing. Listen just for a moment, just to appreciate it, just to be, to stand in awe of what leaked onto that. That's like it was recorded in 1948. Auxiliary, is it? Oh, it's time. So now, my associate Greg has reminded me that,
I'm really happy that I just said that.
Because see, Greg and I have been talking about calling each other my associate, and that was a perfect usage.
I usually say it like this, what's up my associate, Don?
And that doesn't work as well. Into them to throw people off my trail, only to out myself in a moment like this where I explain that it's actually intensely worse than that. And after my dad died, I had all these feelings I wanted to sort through, and then also just kind of becoming a man and realizing, you know, I don't know. That's not important. That's the intensely personal part that I was going to try to throw everybody off the track of, so I won't talk about it.
I was going to say premature hood putting on there.
I'm going to go, whoa, yeah. If you're going to get all serious, I'm going to probably take off my hoodie. So I decided, you know what I'll do is not only create these sort of fictional songs, but I'm actually going to create an alternate universe in which to place these fictional songs, which turned out to be a band of... Well, the way I had it imagined, right, was that it starts with Winston Krusty, who moves over from England, being an ethnomusicologist at Cambridge, comes over on a boat in the 50s to escape an opium addiction and bad memories of a former life. And he arrives in New York and finally settles in Appalachia, saying to his associates in Cambridge that he wants to study the roots of Japanese folk music in the Appalachian Mountains, which is laughable. And he ends up in the Appalachian Mountains, only to sort of find himself in the affections of Elmadora Krusty, who's married to Bud Krusty, who's a Ukrainian Baptist from the Winnipeg area, who left his community on a dubious situation with the death of a cousin, came down the Appalachian Ridge, settled in Appalachia. Anyway, Elmadora leaves Bud, marries Winston, and they have a family, and they hit the road and form a family band called Winston Krusty and the Appalachian Mourners. Their oldest son, Danderholler Agamemnon Krusty, first name comes from Elmadora, second name comes from Winston. Winston, not having had a middle name, was very intent upon naming all of his children with a middle name and one that he felt was noble. So all the children have such names. Danderholler Agamemnon Krusty, Jonas Wilberforce Krusty, Bud Gilgamesh Krusty, and Corky Custer Krusty. The last of which, which is Greg, he's the youngest brother in the clan, was actually, by that time, Winston and Elmadora's marriage had deteriorated so badly that they began to name the children in ways that they thought might upset the other one. And so Winston, against his better judgment, names his son after Custer, General Custer, you know, fought against the Indians. At any rate, they formed this band, and there's a long story that'll actually be put into a musical. I'm working with a couple guys in New York City, no joke, sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. And so we put together, I did a record, Greg helped me out on it, and it was actually co-produced by a friend of ours named Will Hunt, who plays the role of Jonas, which actually, he kind of gets a little, you know, pissy with the family pretty often and goes off to do field recording assignments for National Geographic. I don't even know if National Geographic does field recording assignments. The point of all this, or at least the red jacket, is that that the Krusty brothers, I went to this Harold Penner's Man of Fashion, which is an African-American clothing store, and I told this guy, Ronald, who was taller than me, which that's saying something because I'm fairly tall, I said, I need something cheap and flashy for my rock band. And this was not Harold Penner's on Truce, it was Harold Penner's on Truce, not on Paseo. Paseo's like the nice store, Truce is like the we couldn't sell this stuff store. So he looks at me sideways and says, I'm gonna set you up. So me and Ronald went to the store and I got this like pimped out suit for under $100 and it's like a turquoise with black wavy stripes. and a red derby hat with a red shirt and a red tie. And then Ronald told him to jacket for me. We're looking for pants, and I'm thinking black pants, you know, because you want to play it safe after you've got everything else, right? And Ronald spots the turquoise pants, and he looks at them sideways, and he flips open this little stacks of, you know, clearance pants that were a little tight in the waist, really. And he holds the jacket down, and he says, he kind of looks at me like this. I go, you think I should go turquoise? He goes, if you want to keep him guessing. Well, I do want to do that, Ronald. And he holds it up, and I'm thinking, my wife always told me, don't get two colors that are too close together, because they probably won't match. And so I looked at the lady at the counter. I go, do you really think this matches? She goes, that's a match. So I got the turquoise pants. We all wear costumes, and we have 6 TVs on stage, and we have a friend of mine, David Washington, who's a voiceover guy. He's a 6'4" black guy with dreads, and he wears a tuxedo and cowboy hat, and plays the role of Cowboy Jesus, who will appear in the musical later. He's sort of a figment of Winston's imagination, but as the playwright J.A. Duffer once said, like balding liver spots and something else, these things are genetically passed down, and so the image of Cowboy Jesus is passed down to Neanderthaler. Anyway, so I just figured normally what we should have done was brought the hat and the masks, because we all wear masks, I forgot to say that on stage. There are a lot of things
face paint.
You can imagine. They're face paint masks so that I can wear my glasses over top, which is about as dorky as it gets, but I don't want to not see, and I didn't want to invest in those James Worthy goggles for, you know, I should have, yeah. They get all schmutzed up though with the, anyway. So instead of a hat and a mask, I've decided to, I pulled this out of the upstairs. It's the Crusaders. I don't know who they are. Southeastern College, anyone? One clap, which I think was an accident. I kind of hoped it was like, you know, North Central's like, you know, Mortal Enemies. Because there's something about playing these songs with the voice of your mortal enemy. It seems like a good thing. Carl Jung, you know, psychologist, he has this thing about the shadow self where it says, you know, that what happens is over time we sort of pull these parts of ourselves off that don't really fit in civilized society, which of course is a very good idea. But as a result, we sort of store them away and they become this alternate self that we neglect. And we do this really well as Christians a lot of times, because we find out when we become Christians that it's inappropriate to like drink and swear and fornicate and all these things, but then along with it we also learn sort of in subtle ways that it's not good to have conflict and it's not good to state your opinion or be confident or some other things that aren't really actually bad, but we sort of subliminally get the idea of that. But anybody, can I get an amen? And so we end up kind of like anemic and weak and we go pale for lack of sunshine. And so we have these abnormally large shadow selves, if you will, which you don't have to. I mean, I know Jung was wacko, but, you know, let me go with this for a minute with my Crusaders jacket on. And this is nice. Sleeves fit, which is a rare thing for me. So I think the Krusty Brothers is sort of the shadow self getting out and having a little dance.
Yeah. I can't get the James Worthy glasses out of my head. And every time I think of it, I go to the lab.
Privately?
No, I was doing it just out loud because everybody. Ready?
You'll also notice we had a lot of electronic music. We have our, what we refer to this keyword as Yamaha PSS 460 is Lil Yam. And we've changed it to say Yamana instead of Yamaha. You might have noticed. Exclamation point. So Lil Yam will be providing the beats tonight.